Coming up on Locked On Dodgers. The Dodgers' winning streak was snapped on Sunday, but they still win the weekend series with the Phillies. A lot of good to talk about from the weekend, a little bit of bad too. We're going to cover it all, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. We are doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, let's talk Dodgers. As I said, the Dodgers won the series with the Phillies. They won the first two games, lost a heartbreaker on Sunday in a game that they should have won. A lot of things could have gone differently in the last two innings for the Dodgers. And, they had a 2-1 lead with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, nobody on base. And then Nick Castellanos hit a double, and Gene Segura hit an RBI single to tie the game off of Yency Almonte, his first real hiccup as a Dodger. But hiccups happen. They went to extra innings. The Dodgers missed some opportunities to have a big top of the 10th. They just got the one run. Could have been a lot more. They had bases loaded with one out. But one of the guys we're going to talk about today, Max Muncy, struck out, and then Justin Turner hit the ball hard right down the line, but Alec Boehm was hugging the line, made a nice play, and threw him out to end the inning. And then in the bottom of the 10th, it looked like Justin Turner had made a game-saving play. He deked JT Realmuto off the bag at third. There was an infield single. Like, it wanted so many things. The one positive from that inning was JT's play. So it was a little blooper that Trey Turner, they were playing in the shift. Left-hander Garrett Stubbs hit this little blooper towards shortstop. Trey Turner had range far to his right to even get the ball. He shouldn't have thrown the ball to first. He should have just held it to hold JT Realmuto at second base. He was the Manfred runner on second. He did throw to first. Not nearly in time to get him, to get Stubbs at first. Freddie Freeman came off the bag and fired the ball over to third, trying to get Realmuto, not nearly in time. The throw was a little bit high, and Justin Turner acted like the ball got past him and went down the line and turned around to run after the ball, and Realmuto turned around, hopped off the bag to head home while his third base coach is screaming, ball, 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 pointing at the third base, and Realmuto realized just a split second too late, tried to get back to the bag. Our JT tagged out their JT for the first out of the inning. So instead of first and third, nobody outs, it was runner on first with one out. Huge play. And it could have been a game changer. Unfortunately, it should have been a game changer. But a couple things later on in that inning, so first mistake, Trey Turner shouldn't have thrown it to first base. It ended up working out because of Justin Turner's move, but he shouldn't have thrown it to first. Later, you had Roman Quinn up with second and third and two outs. No, runner on first and two outs. That's right. Roman Quinn came up and he can't hit. And on deck was Alec Boehm, who is a much better hitter than Roman Quinn. And unfortunately, Evan Phillips couldn't find the strike zone, went to 3-1 on Quinn, had to come into the zone because you definitely can't walk him there. Comes into the zone. Quinn hits a base hit to right field. Evan Phillips not being able to get ahead in the count there was frustrating. Mookie Betts didn't expect Stubbs to be going first to third on the hit, it looked like, or not, whoever it was. Yeah, it was Stubbs. He didn't expect him to be going first to third, so he kind of played it and had to throw off his back foot. Still made a great throw to third base and almost got Stubbs, but didn't. And the throw allowed Quinn to go to second. And so, Mookie probably should have been fielding that ball differently, expecting Stubbs to go to third and maybe has a chance to throw him out or at least keep his throw on a lower trajectory so that Quinn has to stay at first base. So that's another mistake. So then it's second and third, and still Evan Phillips got Alec Bohm. Great at bat great job by Evan Phillips. You know, got to an 0-2 count, threw him a tough slider that Bohm laid off, threw him a good pitch, a really good slider, and Bohm hit the ball, ground ball to second base to end the game. Unfortunately, it ended up ending the game in the wrong way as the ball got through Max Muncy's legs, and that was it. Both runs scored. Quinn never stopped running from second base. Muncy's throw was just a split second late. And instead of a game-ending ground out to win the game for the Dodgers, it was a game-ending error to win the game for the Phillies. Frustrating. A lot of stuff went wrong that inning. Overall, you know, they're not going to win every game. The Dodgers had won 7 straight games going into that game. It should have been an 8-game winning streak, but you're not going to win every one. It's just frustrating to lose like that when they had so many opportunities to drive up the lead. And even in that top of the 10th, when Muncy struck out and Justin Turner grounded out, both of them had 3-ball counts. I think Muncy was the full count when he struck out. Definitely at least 2-2. I think it was a full count. JT's was 3-1. And, you know, obviously don't give Justin Turner the take sign in that situation. But, you know, if he had walked, they get another run. So many things could have been different. So just a frustrating way to end. To end on an error is never good. I am going to talk a lot about Max Muncy in the second segment, offensively, defensively, etc. A lot has been said about Max Muncy, and I'm going to say a lot more. That's enough recap. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I will talk a lot about Max Muncy. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar. I've told you a lot about Built Bar. Last week, I told you about their birthday cake puffs. If you don't know, Built Puffs are like marshmallows covered in chocolate. They're amazingly delicious and somehow healthy. Well, now they've got brownie batter puffs. These marshmallows, they taste like brownie batter. It's ridiculous. They are so good. It's like eating a spoonful of brownie batter. They say you're not supposed to do that because of raw eggs or some crap. I don't know. We all do it. But there's no raw eggs in Built Puffs. It's just healthy, delicious, ton of protein. No calories. Wouldn't that be great? Low calorie, low sugar, low carb, all the good stuff, none of the bad stuff, and delicious. I mentioned that. I'll mention it again. They're delicious. It's like alchemy. I don't know. So go try the Built Brownie Batter Puffs. That's hard to say, but they're easy to eat. All you got to do is go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, I am back. I'm going to talk a little bit about Max Muncy, but first I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. When you're done with this, for your next listen, maybe check out the Locked On Now podcast. There's recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about Max Muncy. This guy right here. Love this guy. I am a huge Max Muncy fan. I believe he's going to be okay. Do you think you're going to be okay, Max? Max and I both think he's going to be okay, but let's talk about what's going on right now. Max Muncy has been solid defensively. Let's get out of the way first. This was his first error of the year as a second baseman. He's made 3 errors at third base, 1 throwing error. There is 1 fielding error where it was basically the same play as today. He was in the shift, and so he was playing third base, but he was actually right behind second base, and I think he thought the ball was maybe going to hit the bag, and so it made it harder for him to field it. I don't remember what the third error was, but really, he hasn't been a major liability. He hasn't been great defensively. He's not going to have a ton of range, but he's been solid. At second base, he's been pretty good. He's actually, you know, as far as outs above average go, he's been a little bit, you know, he's been good. Not great, but slightly above average, or at least average. This error, anytime an error happens that literally ends the game, costs the team the game, if he makes the play, the Dodgers win. He didn't, and the Dodgers lose. That's a big swing. So we're going to remember it. It's the same with Gavin Lux, like I was talking about a week or two ago. We remember the big, meaningful, consequential errors, but those don't happen that often. Max Muncy has been solid. He helped turn a big double play in this game in the 8th inning, I believe. Yency Almonte came into pitch with 1 out, and they got a huge double play to get out of the inning, and it was you know, he's a solid second baseman. So this error, it doesn't mean he's bad. I saw somebody on Twitter saying, and you know, the errors don't also count the three times that they should have had a double play, but he couldn't make the play, and you can't assume a double play, so he doesn't get an error on those. I don't remember any of those, and I search, and I can't find any of those. If anybody remembers, like, what game it was, tell me. I'll find it. But I did a search on StatCast looking for, because those are fielder's choices. If you get the out at second, not at first, it's a fielder's choice. I looked at video of every fielder's choice the Dodgers have had this year. I didn't see anything resembling that as far as Max Muncy's defense goes. So I don't know exactly what that person was referring to, if it was this year or messed up memory. I don't know, but I don't remember him. Offensively, there's no denying Max Muncy has really, really struggled. And I see people saying they need to send him to the minors for a while. And here's the thing. They can't. And can't might not be the right word. Here's how minor league options work. Once you are on the 40-man roster, you get three option years. Any season in which you're on the 40-man roster and you spend at least 20 days in the minor leagues counts towards an option year. As far as I can tell, Max Muncy, I know he used option years in 2015 and 2016. By 2017, he was off the A's 40-man roster, so that wasn't an option year. Then the A's released him. 2018, the Dodgers signed him to a minor league contract, but he wasn't on the 40-man roster when he spent the year in AAA. I believe the Dodgers added him to the 40-man roster when they called him up in early 2018, and he's been in the big leagues basically ever since. So I think Max Muncy has one option year left, but the reason I can only say I think is because all these websites stop tracking it once a guy has 5 years of service time, because once he has 5 years of service time, he can't be optioned without his permission, even if he has options available. So FanGraphs, you know, under major league or minor league options, it just says NA, not applicable, because his service time is 5 years and 27 days. So Max Muncy can't be optioned. Even if he has an option available, which he might, he can't be optioned without his permission. If the Dodgers did try to option him, he would have the option of opting out of his contract. Would he do that? I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers obviously they wouldn't even try to option him without having the conversation with him first. But I don't know, you know, yeah, he could go to AAA. And he could try to figure things out. That's a hard thing to ask a big league guy to do. I think a more likely option, the word option keeps coming up. It's funny that they call those options when options are other things too. But the more likely thing would be a DL, IL stint, injured list stint, whether real or phantom. You know, we've talked about the phantom IL and how it's not that teams make up injuries. It's that every player all the time has something nagging him that could cause him to go on the IL. So the Dodgers, you know, I'm sure Max Muncy's elbow isn't feeling 100% yet from the injury last year. So they could, you know, IL him for that. Send him to Arizona for a week and say, all right, let's work on some things in Arizona at Camelback Ranch. And then go out on a minor league rehab stint. The advantage of that option or approach, I'm trying not to say option so much, is the advantage for Muncy is he's still getting major league pay. He's still a major leaguer that whole time. Even on his minor league rehab assignment, he is a major leaguer on a rehab assignment. So he's getting paid like a major leaguer. There's not that hit to the ego. It's just, okay, he worked on some things at Camelback Ranch, and then he goes and spends a week and a half hopefully implementing that stuff in AAA, trying to get his groove back and then bring him back up to the big leagues. Maybe that would work. I don't know. You know, without knowing what the issue is, it's hard to know what the solution is. And with Muncy, it's really hard because like his strikeout rate is actually lower than, where is it? His strikeout rate this season is the lowest. Well, a little bit higher than last year, significantly lower than 2018, 2019, and 2020. His strikeout rate is fine. His walk rate is the highest of his career. The difference is he's not hitting the ball as hard. His hard hit rate is down. And the other thing is his swing rate is very, very low. He doesn't swing at pitches in the strike zone as much. His swing rates outside the strike zone, right in line with his career. A little bit higher than last year, still lower than 2018 and 2019. You know, good, solid outside the strike zone swing percentage. Still, you know, very good plate discipline. Inside the strike zone, last year he swung at 62.2% of pitches in the strike zone. This year it's 53.3%. Like, he is swinging at a ton fewer pitches in the strike zone. His contact rate is actually better than a lot of years, slightly worse than last year, quite a bit better than 2018 through 2020. He's making more contact, but his hard contact is way down, and his actual performance against fastballs is down. He is not doing as well against fastballs this year. For me, that seems like lingering elbow stuff, or at least confidence about the elbow. And so I don't know what the answer is, because if it's confidence about fastballs, the best place to see major league fastballs is in the major leagues. And I think that's why he's still where he is, because he has been, the Dodgers have been winning, even though he's been struggling. And so it's like, okay, do we really need to worry about this? Because his best approach to fixing it is to continue playing in the big leagues. Now, should they move him down the lineup? Maybe. Maybe that's a conversation to have. And maybe, hey, Max, you're going to bat ninth for a while, okay? And with that walk rate, you're still going to get on base a lot. Mookie Betts is going to drive you in plenty, so is Freddie Freeman. But we're going to put you ninth, get you out of the pressure of the middle of the lineup, see if that helps. Maybe. I don't know. It's just, I don't think there are easy answers. And I've seen a lot of people on social media thinking that there are easy answers and that the answer is obvious, and I just don't think it's that obvious. So all I know is I really do believe Max is going to be okay. If you're listening and not watching, I'm holding up my Max Muncy bobblehead. He's nodding to the camera. Yes, I'm going to be okay. I love Max Muncy. As a person, as a player, I think he's great. I think Max Muncy is one of the most likable people in baseball. I love the dude, and I want what's best for him. I felt so bad for him watching him. He stood up and he talked to reporters after the game, and you could tell, I mean, he seemed like he was near tears at times. It affects him, and he wants to help the team. And so, you know, I'm going to keep rooting for him. I don't know the answers. I don't think you do either. I think the people who are closest to knowing the answers are the Dodgers. They're going to do what's best for him and for the team. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him move down in the lineup for a little while. But, you know, who knows what the answer is. So anyway, that's all I have for today. I think Vince will talk about more of the positives of the weekend. Pitching was great this weekend. After the pitching was so bad against the Phillies last weekend, pitching was much, much better this weekend. Probably plenty to talk about there. So that's going to do it for me. Thanks for making us your first listen every day, and Vince will be along in a minute.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Vince here to close out the episode and here to talk about some positives from the weekend and then a couple news and notes from guys that are either injured or working comeback, or one guy the Dodgers actually signed, a former fan favorite, quote-unquote fan favorite. But first, let's just talk about the weekend. You know, Jeff covered the tough loss on Sunday. Jeff covered Max Muncy and his struggles, but there was some positive stuff over the weekend. One of the bigger positives and something that we've kind of been seeing this entire year so far is Tony Gonsolin. Tony Gonsolin was able to go six innings, shut down the Phillies, looked really good, had some nasty splitters, some nasty curveballs, placing the fastball pretty well. He's looking like a legit man in this Dodgers rotation. You know, him, Julio, Walker Buehler, and now Tyler Anderson as those legit guys that are going to give you 5-6 innings every time out, it would appear. So it's a good sign for Gonsolin, you know, a guy that's kind of been up and down here and there in terms of, never in terms of actual production, just in terms of, you know, how comfortable you are seeing him on the mound, especially in key situations. But so far this year, he's been nothing but great, other than a few hiccups here and there in terms of efficiency, but he was pretty efficient on Sunday. You know, maybe could have gone another inning if the Dodgers wanted to push him, but he ended up giving him six strong, and, you know, that's all you can really ask for. Mitch White got a start, and you know, he looked pretty good for a little bit, ran into a little bit of trouble, couldn't get the curveball down. That's what got him into a little bit of trouble. Alec Bohm took him deep, but somebody that could potentially give the Dodgers some big innings in a starting role, which is good because, as we saw and learned, Clayton Kershaw, who went on the injured list, and it looked like he might only miss one start, or at least that was the hope when he first went on the injured list. He's not even going to throw until now, probably a week and a half from now. And then he'll have to kind of build up a little bit more again in order to be ready to pitch for the Dodgers. So not the best news there. Just working our way around the injuries. Tommy Canley, who went on the injured list, was called a right elbow bone bruise. He's on a similar timeline. He's going to be shut down for a couple weeks. Dave Roberts did say that they expected him back before the end of the season, but this is now a handful of guys that they mentioned or that have been injured or going to be injured for a while. And Dave Roberts' main way of saying they'll be all right is that they'll be back before the end of the season. So not sure if that's going to end up being the case for Tommy Canley. Similar to Blake Treinen, who... Good and maybe not so good news. The Dodgers, shortly after the game on Sunday, announced that they had come to a one-year extension with Blake Treinen through the 2023 season. It ended up being that they have an option as well for the 2024 season. And when I first saw the news, I was like, oh, he's not pitching again the rest of the season, and they're getting out ahead of it, which is, you know, based on who the Dodgers are, the timing of everything, it just seemed like that was the case. I believe Jack Harris from the LA Times ended up kind of corroborating that, saying that the Dodgers kind of still expect Treinen to be back, but maybe this was a preemptive way of saying he might not be back, but... they expect him to be back next year at the very least, and he'll be back with the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, obviously good news that Treinen will be back next year, but I don't know if that screams too much confidence for me in terms of him pitching this year. It's a big loss for the Dodgers bullpen, obviously. They need some guys to step up, one of those guys who has the stuff to be able to step up, hasn't quite worked out all the kinks, is Almonte, who pitched on Sunday, did end up giving up the tying run there in the ninth inning. You know, even though he gave up a hit with a runner on second, but Chris Taylor almost pretty much had the ball in his glove by the time Nick Castellanos was either one, like had just stepped on third or one step past third base. A better throw would have made a little bit more fun at the plate. A decent throw would have got Castellanos at home, but, you know, that it just happens that way sometimes. You can't count on a good throw to come in from the outfield in order to save you. But, I mean, Almonte pitched decent enough. He's a guy the Dodgers are probably going to give an extended look now that Treinen's going to be out for a while. Tommy Canley's going to be out for a while, and it maybe opens up what the Dodgers are looking for at the deadline. Although, you know, Danny Duffy is supposed to come back. Dustin May is supposed to come back. They don't end up needing starting pitching. You know, Dustin May could be used as that weapon out of the bullpen. So we'll see what happens. It's obviously not ideal to lose Canley and Treinen, and both not really knowing a realistic timeline of when they could come back. But the Dodgers will just have to push through and try to figure it out. Offensively, Mookie Betts had another big weekend. He's up to 10 home runs now, close to the league lead in the National League, which is kind of crazy since he didn't hit his first home run until like the 13th game. So we're up to what, game 40 or so? Mookie Betts has played in 38 of them. So basically from in 25 games, Mookie Betts has hit those 10 home runs. So that's, you know, a welcome sign for sure. Edwin Rios showed why he should continue to get at least one to two starts a week. He hit another home run. Austin Barnes continued this power surge, this 2022 power surge, hitting a home run over the weekend. He's tied with Will Smith with four home runs. Obviously, Will Smith has been more productive in other areas, but Austin Barnes is up there. He's got an 858 OPS in 49 at-bats, so he's making his mark there as the backup catcher for sure. Muncy, as we talked about, is struggling, but I think the one part about Muncy, too, that I don't know, I think Jeff touched on that. I listened to his part. Was just standing up and facing the music after the game, and, you know, he just had a look on his face like, you know, I just cost my team the game. I'm not hitting at the plate. You know, they asked him a question about, do you think kind of everything's going against you right now? He just kind of, you know, it looked like a laugh, you know, kind of a, like a, yeah, man, it feels that way right now. Just kind of a, you know, what can I do about it? I don't want to be like this. But, you know, shout out to him for being there after the game, facing the music and going about it that way. We'll see what happens, but, you know, it's very possible that we see Max Muncy either move down in the spot in the batting order and or has a couple more days off a week with Edwin Rios picking up either some DH starts or maybe even some starts at third and everyone and, you know, Justin Turner at DH and Kevin Lux at second base or whatever. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the main stuff from the weekend. Julio recovered after getting knocked around by the Phillies last weekend or the previous weekend in Los Angeles. He came back around through 5 shutout innings against them on Friday. And the Dodgers, it was not similar to the weekend pass. You know, they didn't bludgeon the Phillies, but they were able to, you know, win the first games of the series. We're on the precipice of getting that sweep. Similar to the Phillies getting on the precipice of getting the sweep last in the weekend before. And then we all know what happened after that. But you know what? It goes that way sometimes. The Dodgers offense is working hard. You got Mookie Betts and Justin Turner and Freddie Freeman and Trey Turner kind of clicking right now. You got some other guys contributing here and there. The guys look better. Starting pitching is, you know, doing what it can. Bullpen's working pretty strong. So the Dodgers, you know, taking 2 out of 3 to start this road trip isn't a bad thing. You know, they got the Nationals who aren't that good on paper. So the Dodgers need to, you know, be able to handle business. They will face former Dodger Josiah Gray. I think he's faced going up against Walker Buehler in the second game of the series. And then the Dodgers will go to Arizona. So that's all that's out there right now. In terms of Dodgerland, the one news over the weekend, which I think Jeff talked about it on Twitter, is, you know, it's going to be news only because of the fact of who it is, but it's not necessarily any news that I think is going to affect the on-field product the rest of the way. The Dodgers signed Pedro Baez to a minor league deal. Yes, that Pedro Baez. Signed Pedro Baez to a minor league deal, assigned him to Arizona, and we'll let him try to get healthy. He signed a two-year $12 million deal with the Astros ahead of the 2021 season. Barely pitched for him a handful of times last year because of injury and COVID and everything else. He just never quite got on track. Pitched, I think, 2 or 3 times this season. His average velocity on his fastball was near 90 or just under 90 miles an hour. So clearly something wrong with the arm. If that remains the case, obviously he's not going to pitch for the Dodgers. He's not going to make it back to the majors, you know. But the Dodgers, I don't know whether it was something where they feel like if they can get him back or he can get healthy, then he can help out the team. Or maybe it was just a matter of, you know, we want to see if our old buddy Pedro Baez can get back to form. But either way, I don't expect us to say the name Pedro Baez again the rest of this year. Unless, like I said, he has some miraculous recovery or the Dodgers have some miraculous way of getting his arm right, and the Dodgers end up using him later in the season. But I would count on that not happening rather than happening, and I'll be surprised if we do talk about Pedro Baez other than tomorrow's episode, which when me and Jeff are together, Pedro Baez's name might come up again just because I might bring it up and see what he has to say about it. But either way, that's it from the weekend. That's all we got. The Dodgers, like I said, take on the Nationals next, and that's what we'll talk about the rest of the next 3 days, and then we'll get into talking about the Diamondbacks and how that series with the Nationals went. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to check out Locked On MLB with our buddy Sully. He's covering the major leagues past and present. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. Or you can always send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Turn your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.